Hello, Mike. Well, we can't hear you very well at the moment, Mike. There seems to be a bit of trouble on the line, but hopefully, of course, by tomorrow, it will be all sorted out. In the meantime, we'll return to John Clark.
Welcome, please.
22 minutes our way from 7. It's Radio Nova, the Mighty 890. And tomorrow, of course, we're live in the Ilex Centre. And down there at the moment is Mike Edgar. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And nice to hear you. Mike, you're down there at the moment. Can you tell us, for a start, where exactly Radio Nova will be tomorrow?
Well, we're in the Star Roller Rink stand from 10 till 2 tomorrow. That's situated just inside the Moore Street entrance, opposite Murray's record shop. You can't miss it, actually, because there's a big boot down here.
And we're the guests, of course, of the Star Roller Skating Rink.
Oh, yes, it's their boot, in fact. It's about 15 feet tall. It's actually a motor car in the shape of a boot. I've never seen anything quite like it before.
And will people be skating around tomorrow?
Oh, yes, there'll be lots of people skating around in between the crowds. We're expecting a huge crowd down here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that immensely. Also looking forward to tonight's do in the television club. We've all been working hard. The PA system is all set up. The lighting men are still at work. And the doors are open there at 9 o'clock. So
I must just add one thing to that, Mike. We have a very special guest coming down tonight. He's very, very famous. I'm not going to say who it is. But he'll be appearing on stage at one stage of the evening tonight. So a very, very famous person down at the television club tonight. I'm not going to say who it is, but it'll be a goodie.
We mustn't give any secrets away at this stage.
Absolutely. Mike, I know you've got a lot of work down there at the Ilex Centre. We'll see you tomorrow morning down there bright and early when
and
we join
tonight,
you at 10 o'clock.
Course.
And tonight, of course, at the television club. Have a
Bye
good day, Mike. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. 15 before 7 on Nova, something from Hot Chocolate and Girl Crazy, if you're hair crazy.
I'd like to tell you about a hair salon with a difference. Pure Nature. It's Ireland's only organic hair salon, using all of nature's goodness.
Pure Nature are experts in precision cutting, perming and colouring. Specialised treatments are also available for psoriasis, hair loss, in fact, any scalp problem.
If you care enough for your hair, phone us for an appointment on 720241. Or call 29 Upper Abbey Street. Pure Nature hair products are on sale throughout Ireland in select outlets and health shops. Pure Nature, for hair care the natural way.
At Joaquin Taney, there's a better way to buy a car. Because we give no deposit finance on new or used cars. Repayments can be as little as £15 weekly over 3 or 4 years, depending on the car. Interested? See Joaquin Taney at Taney Road, Goatstown, or phone for a quote, 987-166.
With sale is on, with great news if you've kids to dress. Terry t-shirts were $3.99, now cost just $2.49, save $1.50. And prices are cut on pretty kids' summer dresses. Were $6.99, now $3.99, save £3.
Whoa, pennies! Whoa, only pennies!
This month, IT Magazine flies to the sun with an exciting new fashion label called Olive.
Full of fashion, full of fun.
IT Magazine interviews an angry young man, Tony Gregory.
IT Magazine's the one.
It's a young magazine, bright like you are. It's full of great beauty ideas, and it's out now.
Buy it, read it, love it. It's the one.
Radio Nova.
Bye.
7 o'clock, and it's a heartache tonight from the Eagle. Rips have two from Paul McCartney. Do I know things? Let's have Ebony and Ivory and Take It Away.
Ebony and Ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. We all know.
I can get out to Lucan. I'm back from Lucan. See you in the telly club tonight. Good night.
The best music.
John Clark.
On Radio Nova.
Check it out.
Check out Marley's Nightclub in the new look Marley Park Hotel, Grange Road, Rathfarnham. Marley's Nightclub is open Thursday to Sunday.
Check it out.
I like the style.
New from Kelly Casuals.
Nice.
FX Kelly Casuals. 48 Grafton Street. Bring you the casuals she won't forget. Trousers, cottons, gabardine and cords from about £19.50. For millions of children, each new day brings only the horror of poverty, disease and malnutrition. Think for a moment about these children. Think. And then act. Support your Milkman's collection for UNICEF this weekend. Through UNICEF's action, your donation can bring help and hope to a child in need.
McCann put you in a great car. New, used, big or small, George has them all. And he's a nice guy. Nook Grove Motors, Rathfarnham. If McCann can't do it, no one can.
You'll get bang for your money, baby.
The Red Corner Shop. The name that started a revolution in furniture discount sales. An epic tale of bulk buying, of importing across frontiers, and of keeping the quality high. Full marks to the Red Corner Shop, carrying on the struggle, the fight against overexpensive furniture, so that every home can have quality goods at a fair price. The Red Corner Shop, 89 Lower Dorset Street. You can't miss it, and you can't afford to miss it.
Broadcasting from Dublin on 846 kHz medium wave and FM 88 in stereo, this is Radio Nova, where it's now 7 p.m.
Nova World News Summary with Brian Dobson and Sybil Fennell. Good evening. The headlines. In the Falklands, British task force raiding parties landed on East Falkland during last night. This has been confirmed by Argentina. According to US sources, some 1,000 troops went ashore. A British task force helicopter has crashed in the sea. 21 men are believed to have died in the accident. Two other headlines this evening. In Belfast, army experts have defused two crates of petrol bombs. And the Minister for the Environment has announced a financial and tax incentive scheme to redevelop Dublin's inner city. But first, the Falklands. The Argentine military authorities have been giving their version of the British landings on the Falkland Islands. The news came several hours after the Defence Ministry in London had announced that a number of raiding parties had gone ashore during the night. In a communique broadcast on radio and television, the Argentine said that a landing near Port San Carlos on the East Falkland Island had begun at 8:50 in the morning local time. 5 minutes earlier, the Argentine army forces in the area had spotted three ships of the British task force in the bay, and another ship north of the mouth of the Falkland Sand that's between the two main Falkland Islands. That was all, the official communique said. There was no report of any casualties. Unconfirmed reports say that there was an attempted landing by helicopter-borne troops at Port Darwin, further south on East Falkland Island. A statement from London said that the raids were still in progress, and the early indications were that they were achieving their objectives. There were also bombardments from British ships and Harrier jets, their targets being fuel and weapon dumps. Speaking in London this afternoon, the British Prime Minister, Mrs. Thatcher, praised the skill and courage of those fighting in the Falklands.
Argentina has said that the attacks are being resisted and that Argentine planes had attacked the ships involved in the operation. They say 250 men on 10 landing craft went ashore. But according to American intelligence sources, Britain has landed about 1,000 troops on the Falkland Islands. The Defence Ministry in London also announced this afternoon that a British naval helicopter came down in the sea in an accident while crewmen were being transferred between ships. One man is known to have died and 20 others are still missing, presumed dead. 9 crewmen were rescued. The next of kin have already been notified. The accident happened some time before the operation announced today. The Argentine Foreign Minister, Mr. Costa Mendes, is reported to be going to New York for a meeting of the United Nations Security Council. At home, the government has restated Ireland's request for a formal meeting of the UN Security Council to debate the Falklands crisis. The council is due to meet in public session about now. The Pope has had a meeting with the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church from Britain and Argentina. The four had lunch with the Pope in the Vatican earlier today. Tomorrow they'll be taking part in Pope John Paul's special Mass for Peace at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome.
And now the rest of the news. Back home, the Minister for the Environment, Mr. Burke, has announced a new financial and tax incentive scheme to redevelop Dublin's inner city and other central urban areas. The Urban Areas Development Bill was circulated to Dáil deputies today. As a pilot project, the Minister has designated the 27-acre port and docks board site at the Customs House and the 50 acres covered by the medieval walled city of Dublin, including the Liberties. In West Belfast, British Army bomb disposal experts have defused 2 crates of petrol bombs which were wired to explode when removed. The crates were discovered in Unity Flats. The 3 main teachers' unions have urged members in the Dublin area to participate outside school hours in next Monday's march organised by the Dublin Council of Trade Unions. The march, due to begin at 2:30, is being called to demonstrate for tax equity and against attempts to turn PRSI into a tax on workers. President Hillary today signed into law the Housing Private Rent and Dwellings Bill Act of 1982. It was brought in to replace the Rent Restrictions Act of 1960, which the Supreme Court had held to be unconstitutional. A young soldier from the Curragh camp was killed today when the Land Rover he was driving on escort duty went out of control and crashed into a ditch. The accident happened near Kildare Town. A second soldier was injured in the crash.
Naval officials here are examining a number of confidential documents found in the Irish Sea and believed to have come from an American submarine. The documents were discovered off Howth by a northern trawler. The papers were in a canister marked confidential. 16 couriers employed by the Pony Express Company in Dublin have taken unofficial strike action. The dispute, which began earlier this week, concerns working conditions and the implementation of a recent pay increase. Those on strike are all members of the AGE-MOU. A spokesman for the group told our reporter that they expected official union backing next week. A management spokesman said that the disputed pay rise had been fully implemented, and he added that a series of meetings had been proposed to solve outstanding problems. He said that his offer had been turned down and that management had been presented with an ultimatum, including some 12 demands. A number of non-union couriers are still working as normal, and no conciliation talks are planned.
In Britain, the executive of the largest rail union, the National Union of Railwaymen, has decided to call industrial action affecting rail services and sealing ships. They say it will go ahead unless British Rail withdraws its decision to close workshops in counties Durham and Lancashire. Still in Britain, an investigation has begun into how 22 miners were trapped in their pit cage for an hour yesterday. The accident happened at a pit in South Yorkshire. The double-decked cage became jammed in the 600-foot mine shaft.
the annual rate of inflation in Britain is down into single figures for the first time in more than 3 years. In the 12 months to April, prices in Britain rose by 9.4% as compared with the 10.3% increase in the year to March.
In Italy, police say five suspected Red Brigade's terrorists detained in Naples had planned to kidnap an unidentified prominent figure. Police in Rome arrested another three Red Brigade suspects. Documents and weapons were seized during the raids. In the Philippines, the hijack of an airliner with more than 100 people on board has ended. The authorities say the hijacker, who was armed with a hand grenade, was overpowered by two members of the crew. 8 hours after he'd taken over the plane during a domestic flight, there were no injuries. The hijacker had threatened to blow up the aircraft unless the government made a number of political reforms.
The financial report this evening, the Dow Jones Index at 5 o'clock was up 1.8 at 834.28. On Wall Street, stocks continued higher in moderately active trading. The Financial Times Index closed up 6.2 at 560.6. The pound sterling closed at 83.66 against the Irish pound, that's down 0.21, and the American dollar at 105 against the Irish pound.
And the weather here in the Dublin area, dull and close with outbreaks of drizzle and hill fog this evening. Clearing overnight with temperatures falling to 10 degrees Celsius. Southwesterly winds will be moderate to fresh, force 4 to 6 on Dublin Bay. In the north, rain dying out to give clear spells, temperatures falling to 6 degrees centigrade, winds moderate and southerly in direction. And in northwestern parts of England, scattered showers becoming heavy and persistent tonight, with hill fog in most areas. Warm, with temperatures remaining above 12 degrees. Winds southerly to southwest and moderate.
And finally, according to a Chinese newspaper report, a man has been arrested in Shanghai for trying to sell a fake $5 million banknote. Mr. Zhao Wenzi posed as a businessman and claimed that the note had been printed by the American Banknote Company in 1945. He offered to sell it for about £275,000. It was decorated with pictures of tanks, aeroplanes and parachutes and a fake seal from the Bank of China. It was certainly a new business idea anyway, Brian.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe I need that kind of money if I'm working here much longer.
That's the Nova World News summary at just after 8 minutes past seven. Good night.
Radio Nova.
Nova.
McCann put you in a great car. New, used, big or small, George has them all. And he's a nice guy. Nutgrove Motors, Ralph Barnum. If McCann can't do it, no one can.
You'll get bang for your money, baby. Every single mile. Pennies. Whoa. Only pennies.
Pennies with sale is on now. Just listen to these prices. Ladies' cotton tops were $2.99, now just $1.49. You save $1.50. Penny's cotton tops are the lowest prices ever. And mini skirts, both denim and drill, down from $5.99 to $3.99. Save £2.
Whoa, pennies! Whoa! Only pennies! Only pennies!
Harris's of Angel Street. We are offering the very best in home entertainment and accessories. Come in and see our range of TV, video, hi-fi, domestic appliances and Maxell recording accessories. To all our video purchasers, we offer free membership of Video Library, free first 10 films of your choice, free a 3-hour blank video cassette. We also offer same-day delivery service and installation at no extra cost. We can arrange finance if necessary. Quality products at sensible prices. Harris's of Angel Street, just up from Dockrose.
It's way out best. You don't have to go way out west. You don't have to listen to Americans talking. Get on down to Bachelor's Walk-In. Tuck yourself in at the potbelly stove. There ain't no matter grub, no matter how far you roll.
Dead right, Deadeye. For sizzling steaks, big beefy burgers, fabulous french fries, delicious desserts, popular prizes, and tons of tantalizing deep Texas tasty treats, you sure can't beat the...
And what was the name of that gull-darned place?
The Potbellied Stove!
The Potbellied Stove is between the Hapenny Bridge and O'Connell Bridge at 25 Bachelor's Walk. It's open 7 days a week, from noon till late.
The Potbellied Stove in Bachelor's Walk.
Great grub for the roving kind! Yee-haw!
Index.
Black & Decker.
We've just bought a great new electric lawnmower. It's the Black & Decker D404, and it's much easier to use than a push mower. It does a smashing job, and it's terrific value from around $49.95. The D404 from Black & Decker.
Good evening. I'm Linda Conway, and this is the Friday Report. And hello once again. Tonight, as usual, we round off the week's report with the Legal Spot. And Ben O'Rafferty's in the studio with me. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Linda.
And he's going to be answering your questions phoned in this afternoon on the Misuse of Drugs Act. Well, Ben, it seems a very recent act. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it was introduced actually in 1976 and passed by the both houses of the Oireachtas in 1977. And the basic aim behind the act was to liberalise the law and to close up some of the loopholes which had existed before. There was quite a bit of opposition to it at the time. At the time, several TDs in particular speaking in the Dáil. But it has had the effect of liberalising the law, particularly with regard to possession of cannabis or cannabis resin on first, second offences. And the penalties for possession are now much more lenient than before. It is, unlike other areas we've dealt with, it's quite simple and straightforward. And if you don't mind, I'll sort of quote from the Act as we go along, and it's fairly easily understood, I think.
Right, to start with, we had a lot of calls from people who just wanted to know what was the main offence under the Act.
Well, obviously the main offence is possession. Possession of what is known as a controlled drug. And the Act, in the third section, says a person shall not have a controlled drug in his or her possession. You can't get any more simple and straightforward than that. I just point out here, firstly, before I say what a controlled drug is, that it's not actually an offence to use drugs. It's an offence to possess them. To come to the second thing there, the fact that you have to have a controlled drug. A controlled drug is set out in the Act in one of the schedules to the Act. There's a very long list. In fact, over 100 drugs are set out in the Act as being controlled drugs. Cannabis and cannabis resin, obviously. Cocaine, mescaline, morphine, opium, amphetamines. The usual sort of list one would expect, and several other very obscure ones that I can't even pronounce myself. I've never heard of before.
So what exactly, you know, happens when you're under the influence but maybe not in possession of a drug? A lot of people wanted to know that if you're caught maybe by the guards on the street and you're not actually in possession of anything.
Well, if you're not in possession, you haven't committed an offence. That's a very simple and straightforward answer to that. As I said, it's not an offence actually to smoke, and it's not an offence to be under the influence. I should just point out here actually, and while we're on possession, that as I said earlier, the law has liberalised the penalties for possession, and the penalties at present are for the first offence a maximum fine of £50, the second offence a maximum fine of £100, and in that it's different from the previous situation where you could in fact be jailed. But for a third and further offences, the max fine of £250 and or 12 months imprisonment. Now, it's very rare to be imprisoned for possession of cannabis resin, and very rarely given the maximum fine as well, but it is treated somewhat more seriously than first and second offences.
Now, can a test be carried out by guards? A lot of people wanted to know whether you can ascertain whether somebody's under the influence of drugs or not. Are guards allowed to do that?
Well, again, as I said, Linda, it's not an offence to be under the influence. It's not an offence to use drugs. I presume there may well be tests, but it's not really relevant to the Act because there's no offence of using or being under the influence.
So there's hardly really any point in that, I suppose. Now, do sentences vary on different types of drugs?
They do indeed, very widely. And cannabis and cannabis resin, as I gave the penalties earlier on, first, second and third offences, are quite lenient. Other drugs other than cannabis or cannabis resin are treated in a very different manner indeed. On what's known as summary conviction of possession of a drug other than of a controlled drug other than cannabis or cannabis resin, in other words, conviction in the district court really, there's a max fine of £250 and or 12 months imprisonment. But for conviction on indictment, which in other words means you're tried in a court higher than the circuit, than the district court rather, which is to some extent your choice and to some extent the guard's choice, is far treated in a far more serious way, and you can be fined up to £1,500 and indeed and or 7 years imprisonment is imposed by the Act as well. So you can see from that that they're treated substantially differently to cannabis and cannabis resin.
Right, I'm glad you mentioned that there now, because we had a lot of calls on people who wanted to know if they could appeal on the sentences that they were given, on sentences or in fact fines.
You can. You can appeal if you think that a sentence or a fine is unreasonable. But if you're talking about sort of possession of cannabis, really, there isn't. You'd probably incur more cost by appealing than you would by just simply paying the fine and forgetting about it, because the fines aren't all that great. And very rarely, as I point out, the maximum fine is imposed unless someone is obviously a habitual user.
So what about dealing drugs? I mean, what's the situation there?
Well, again, the Act is quite simple and straightforward in relation to dealing. It says, and just quote, a person who has in his or her possession a controlled drug for the purpose of selling or otherwise supplying it to another shall be guilty of an offence. And the obvious question is, I mean, how do you know whether someone has such a quantity that they're selling or supplying it to another? And the answer to that is that the Act actually gives the court in question a very wide discretion. And the District Justice, in reality, must be satisfied, having regard to the quantity of the drug or to such other matter as it considers relevant, that the drug in question was not intended for the immediate personal use of the person. Now, I don't really know what such other matter is in that, but the quantity of the drug is the obvious one. And to some extent, it's the discretion of the guard, or the member of the drug squad in question as well, which section he wants to prosecute under. And is he going to prosecute you for possession, or is he going to prosecute you for dealing? It's impossible to actually establish what the policy of the guards is in a situation like that. But, I mean, if you're the average town spot carried around in the old denim jacket pocket, you're not going to be prosecuted for dealing. So just 2 points, actually, before we go on here, Linda. Quite important ones as well, that in relation to dealing, once the prosecution proves their case that you have drugs for the sale or supply to another person, it's up to you then to disprove that case. And the only way I can actually see that you can disprove that case is by showing that, by proving that you smoke, say if someone is caught with £200 worth of cannabis resin, the only way to get out of it is to say, listen, I smoke £200 worth a day, you know, and all my friends come into court and say, yeah, you know, you smoke £200 worth a day. It's very difficult. If you do actually prove that, I mean, I don't really see what the prosecution could do to disprove it, you know.
Well, looking down my list, I see a very interesting question from somebody who wanted to know, how much do you have to have on you before you're actually considered to be a dealer? Because there is a difference, surely.
There is, yeah. As I said, like, it's impossible to know exactly where the line is drawn. I mean, obviously very small quantities, you're not going to be prosecuted for dealing. It's impossible to know what, as I said, the actual line is. I mean, obviously, so if you're talking about 100 quid's worth, you're talking about prosecution for dealing. I just point out here as well, actually, Linda, that the penalties for dealing are far more severe than for possession, between £250 fine and or 12 months imprisonment. On summary conviction and on indictment, £3,000 fine and up to 14 years imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You can see exactly how stringent dealing is treated. And I should point out here as well, while I'm on it, that there is no distinction between cannabis and cannabis resin and any other controlled drugs, as opposed to the situation for possession, where there's the distinction made between the two.
Now, what about when you grow your own? Because then there are certain people who do obviously experiment in that line of horticulture. What happens when you're caught growing your own in the back garden or in the bathroom or wherever?
Well, growing your own is what's known as cultivation under the Act. And it's an offence under the Act, of course. And again, the same fines as above, £250 fine and or 12 months imprisonment. It depends, again, like a lot is left at the discretion of the guards in question. By a lot of these sections and this one again, but generally speaking you'd expect a hefty fine if you're caught growing a substantial amount.
Right, now, people smoking in public places, pubs and clubs and things like that, you mentioned earlier about the offences. What happens if, you know, you're seen smoking in a public place?
Well, if you're seen smoking in a public place and you're approached by a member of the authorities, as it were, you'll be caught and no doubt arrested for possession and the drug in question confiscated. There's one interesting point here, though, that it's actually an offence for the person in control of the land or premises in question to permit the smoking of cannabis or cannabis resin in or on the land or premises in question.
So, in fact, a pub owner could be up on a charge if he had people on his premises smoking?
Could actually be, yeah. An interesting point here actually is you don't actually have to be the owner of the premises in question. If you're in control of the premises or the land, you can be prosecuted as well under this section. And that should cover, say, for example, someone who's promoting a concert and has a license to use a large field for a day. He's actually in control, but he doesn't actually own. And so long as you're in control of the land, you are exposed to the law, as it were. It's slightly different, though, to the extent, and your publican might escape under this method, that he actually has to know that cannabis resin was being smoked. And when he knew that, he actually then permitted the smoking to take place. And it's to that extent it may protect the little old lady who owns your local. I mean, she may not know what cannabis resin is and thinks it's funny cigarettes or something, you know. And so long as she doesn't know what it is, and then if she doesn't know what it is, she can't obviously have sort of actively permitted it, you know. To that extent, it's different from other offences under the Act. You actually have to know that it's going on. There's an element of knowledge.
Now, a lot of people wanted to know about the rights to raiding property by guards without warrants. What's the situation there? Can a property be raided by guards who don't have a warrant in their possession?
No, they need a search warrant to enter, as the case under most criminal acts, criminal laws, as it were. They need a search warrant to enter.
Now, what sort of grounds would they have to have for that warrant? Any idea?
Well, so long as they formed the opinion that there may be an offence under the Misuse of Drugs Act being committed, that's sufficient ground for having a warrant. They don't actually have to know that somebody's inside with a mm-hmm. bag full of grass or something, you know. So long mm-hmm. as they form the opinion and it's reasonably formed, that's quite sufficient.
Generally speaking, would you say that guards have wide powers under the Act?
They do. They've wider powers under the Misuse of Drugs Act than they would have under most acts. For example, under one of the sections, if a guard has reasonable cause for suspecting that a person is in possession of a controlled drug, may, without warrant, and that's most important, without warrant, search the person, search his car if he's driving a car, and seize and detain anything found on the person or in the car. And once any controlled drug has been found on your person or in your car, well then, that's it, you'll be arrested, no doubt, and whatever gear it is will be confiscated.
So then the particular question that can a person be stopped and searched for drugs on the same basis, say, as a breath test, would the answer be yes?
It would be, yeah. It would be. You can be stopped. It's the Road Traffic Act's actually probably the widest powers the guards have outside of the Offence Against the State Act, I suppose, and ranking after that would be the Misuse of Drugs Act.
Now, does the Act apply to the misuse of prescribed drugs? We've been talking there about cannabis resin. Does it actually apply to prescribed drugs as well?
It does to the extent that you can't... I put it like this, it doesn't apply to prescribed drugs so long as the prescription is a lawful one. That's the best way of putting it. But it is an offence under the Act to have a forged or fraudulently altered prescription, which has happened in the past. People have altered the prescription to, say, sort of, you know, 200 as opposed to 100 grams, you know, and that's unlawful.
Right, now, are there any other offences under the Act that you could mention here that would sort of let us know a little bit more about it?
There's one very strange offence under the Act, actually, and over. It's an offence to aid, abet, counsel or induce the commission in a place outside the state, and here I'm quoting from the Act, of an offence punishable under a corresponding law in force in that place. And that's a very strange offence in many ways, because it depends on the law of other countries.
Could you give me an example? I'm a little bit confused by that at the moment.
Well, say, for example, the offence is committed in Turkey, or the obvious places, Morocco, Thailand, Bolivia, and you escape the authorities there. You can actually be convicted in Ireland for the offence you committed there, so long as the authorities in that other country certify that it is an offence under their law. It's quite an important section, and it's very important because you don't actually have to be in possession, you don't actually have to deal, and you don't have to use. Effectively, it's to get at what's known as the godfathers. In other words, the people who aid and abet, the people who put the money up, the people who buy the plane tickets, hire the cars, set up the hotels, whatever, and the people who counsel, in other words, the advisors along the way, whatever. So if you evade the Moroccan or Spanish authorities, you can still be done for an offence here. Basically, it's the person who puts other people up to it, you know, the guy who sits in the cool chair and very nice office and all the rest, and he's not immune from the law at all. The mm-hmm. fact that he doesn't actually put his hands on any drugs at any stage.
Right, now a lot of people were interested to know about the powers of the drug squad. Do they have special powers? Do they have more powers maybe than the ordinary guard?
No, the drug squad aren't sort of singled out for special powers, but as I said earlier, the Misuse of Drugs Act gives all members of the guards, including obviously the drug squad, quite wide powers. Like I said, they can be stopped, searched without a warrant. So long as the guard has a reasonable cause for suspecting that you're possessing drugs, they can also arrest you without warrant if they suspect you of dealing. And again, like, no warrant needed in that case. They're quite wide powers, actually, and it wouldn't be under many criminal laws have powers as wide as those.
It seems to me to be a fairly comprehensive law, but not the liberal law you suggested. What would you say to that? It doesn't seem as liberal as you mentioned
well,
there earlier.
Well, the first thing, then, the covers a very wide area, there's no doubt about that, and it closes some of the loopholes which existed in the previous law, particularly as regards people who control a premises, a club or a pub, whatever. It is quite stringent to the extent, particularly stringent as regards dealing or importing and things like that. It's mainly to get at the main guy. It's not the sort of guy, you know, sort of smoking his tent spot on a Saturday night, whatever. And to that extent, it's quite liberal with regard to the penalties for possession of cannabis. And that was the main sort of development of the Act. The second main development of liberalisation, as it were, was that there are provisions actually made in the Act for the health and medical care of persons accused of offences. And these are quite wide-reaching provisions and novel as well. There's plenty of countries that don't have provisions like this at all. Under one of the sections of the court can actually remand persons in custody while a medical report is obtained. And secondly, the court can actually arrange for the medical treatment or care of persons after the hearing of the case. So in the first situation, you're actually sort of on a type of medical probation. And in the second situation, where you're actually convicted and sentenced, the sentence can be served in Jervis Street or Cool Mine, somewhere like that, where you'll actually be treated. There'll obviously be sort of district justices, guards, whatever, who still think it's, you know, that the law is the law, it's an offence, and if you're committed an offence, you're in Mountjoy, that's mm-hmm. it. But there's a lot of people, I think, who know better, and like addiction isn't just a crime, it's an offence under the Misuse of Drugs Act to be addicted to a controlled drug, to be a user, to be in possession, rather, of controlled drugs. But addiction is also a medical condition, and to that extent, like, the Act isn't as tough as it might seem. It's tough in several ways, as I said, though, particularly for dealers and importers. They're the people I think, who deserve to suffer.
So, in fact, would you say that maybe Ireland figures as far more liberal than many other countries?
It would be. I mean, there are obviously some European countries who have far more liberal drug laws than Ireland, and even if they aren't more liberal, they're just never enforced. I mean, Holland, Denmark have to be pretty obvious examples, but I mean, South sort of Mediterranean countries, I don't think the laws are too liberal with regard to possession of drugs.
Right, finally, Ben, where can you get a copy of the Act? Because I suppose there you'll find out exactly what your rights are.
You can get a copy of the Act in the Government Publications Office. That's just right behind the GPO there in O'Connell Street. Nobody can miss that, I don't think, no matter how hard they try.
Okay, Ben, thanks very much indeed. And that's the legal report tonight. Don't forget tonight's Disco Down, the Television Club in Harcourt Street, and of course the ILAC Centre tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday as usual after the 7 o'clock news. But now let's end this edition of the Weekend Report with
8 Miles High by the Birds, Linda.
Good night.
Miles higher, and when you commercial is going to tell you about Gowan Motors' new and second-hand car sales. It'll tell you about the complete Talbot and Peugeot range stocked at Gowan Motors, including the new Talbot Samba. About the 50 new models, from £5,000 to £20,000. You will hear about the great deal you get from Gowan Motors, and the good trade-ins. It'll tell you that Gowan Motors in Glenageary is headed by John Hayes. That's useful to know. Best of all, this commercial has just told you about your free set of Waterford Crystal. From guess where?
They're light and crispy, and Finders make them. Savory pancakes, it's time to take them home the Finders way.
Finders way.
Crispy pancakes, steak and kidney, and mince beef too.
And now, Finders introduce Smoky Bacon, a great new pancake taste, giving you a choice of six savory fillings.
Combination that turns every day.
Every day.
Into a pancake day. Finders pancakes, you can do them our way.
Video can inform and instruct, as well as entertain. If you're engaged in training, education, medicine, industry, commerce or sport, you should be making productive use of the dynamic video medium. Professional Video Limited, an organization accredited by Sony, Panasonic and Hitachi Industrial Divisions, caters exclusively for the professional user of video equipment and will help you use the medium to best effect. Our marketing team will help you choose the equipment exactly suited to your requirements. Our experienced engineering team will provide you with an installation and backup service second to none nationwide. Whether it's video sales, service or hire, contact Professional Video Limited, Burlington House, Waterloo Lane, Dublin 4. Telephone 682208. Professional Video Limited, the way it should be.
Sale is on, with great news if you've kids to dress. Terry t-shirts were $3.99, now cost just $2.49, save $1.50. And prices are cut on pretty kids' summer dresses. Were $6.99, now $3.99, save £3.
Whoa, pennies! Whoa, only pennies! Only pennies!
Tonight, we launch Operation NovaCare 82 with a monster disco at the Television Club in Harcourt Street. It's on till 1 o'clock. Come along, enjoy yourselves, and support Operation NovaCare 82. Don't let them down.
Jason Maine.